Blog Talk Radio.
we appreciate you being here with us through this situation. And so hopefully we won't have that issue and try to work through that. Play a little bumper tune. Our audio back up. As I was saying, welcome to another edition of Progressive News Weekly. We had three bumper tunes for one. Well, of course, we started out with Think Twice. And then we went into, I Feel It. And then, of course, we just heard Open Our Eyes. So again, welcome to another edition of Progressive News Weekly. My name is Daryl Clark. You're at the right place at the right time. We bring you news and information that's intended to inspire you and encourage you, definitely to empower you, well, and maybe above all, to instill you to get involved and make a difference. No talking heads here. This is about news for you, by you, and then of you. You are the news here. And it's by you, because most of or significant number of our topics and our guests come from you, the listener. And if it's on the air here, we're vetting it. And we encourage you to call in, have some discourse. It's uncommon discourse. It's the kind of discourse that you don't often hear on mainstream, though you may begin to hear more. But mainstream media, I think most of our listeners, right, we're family. We keep it real with one another. We may not always agree, but as my mentor, Dick Gregory, used to say, we don't have to be disagreeable. Let's come together and stimulate each other's minds to be more open as to what's going on. Only get better. Iron sharpens iron. The main point is not to get caught in a box. That's the point. Don't get caught in a box. I'm speaking to all the demographics of my listeners, male, female, affluent, non-affluent, African-American, white, Caucasian, Latino, Jew, Christian, Muslim, Hindu, across the board. As long as wherever you are, you're founded in that universal thread of love. That's it. And if you can use that as a foundation, we can have some kind of a course and help to bring some balance to this society, which is spiraling out of control. Folks, we're in a situation now where we thought the Second Amendment was a thing. There is no question. And if you're listening to this program, I'm comfortable saying you agree that the news truly is fake news. This isn't about a candidate or a president who uses that term. It's just about the facts. And I like to say, go back in my archives prior to any of us ever thinking about our current president using that term. You can go back 8 years and you'll hear me on air, even when I was in New York airing for those 3 years when I started out. That was a term. I think he got that from me. But anyway, that's a just tongue-in-cheek thing. It is fake news. And it's been getting more fake and more fake and more fake. And now we've reached a crescendo where, guess what? If you don't take a particular stance, your voice means nothing. And that's where it is now. So this isn't even about trying to support Trump or Biden or any independent libertarian, Green Party, whatever. But if at some point you have something you want to say on Facebook or Twitter, guess what? Zip, you could be just because I don't like your zip code. So be careful, because that sword, it swings both ways. So today you may say, oh, I'm on this side. Well, you know, hey, I'm glad they did. No, that's why we must think independent. And we're going to talk about that kind of independent thinking on today's program, which those of you in the mail list know what we're going to. It's about black reform. Significant majority of our demographic is of African-American descent, and I welcome all others to this party, this not just independent party, this universal party. This isn't about left wing or right wing. It's just simply about that universal common denominator of love and being open-minded and letting go of all affiliation, denomination, affiliates, all of that, just being a human being. And if you do that and you think about the infringement on our First Amendment, what's happening now, then you're on board with this universal movement that we've got to engage in. Regardless of what happens in, 1.5 weeks, on November 3rd. And I would dare say, because of the, well, the direction it's obviously leaning on, if it should go, what is that, left, right? See, I don't even think in those terms. I guess it's liberal. Yeah, liberal. If it should go that way, we have to be extra careful. Power is like a drug. The more you engage in it, the more addicted you become, and the more, well, dangerous you become to society. So we have to be ever careful, especially if it swings that way. But no matter which way it swings, we need to be prepared to be able to navigate and succeed in this society. Because you see, something I've been talking about for 10 years, we have to be very, very careful of. First of all, this situation that's going on right now, it's bigger than any of us. This is global. You've got every major network, mainstream network, non-cable network that's involved, very obvious, and we've given examples. This is very, very, very deeply embedded. And if that be the case, and as it appears to be, and it's my hope that the truth will surface, the facts, that there is some tie with China. Oh, did I say that? Did I? Let's see, is Blog Talk going to censor me? Well, we'll know shortly, right? We've got to have a forum where we can speak truth, at least speak. And yes, I'm concerned. And I'm not one to say, I told you so, just for the sake of that. But I did say about 2 weeks ago, if you go back to the archives, folks, I think that's why my bumper tune opened up this evening with Think Twice. By the way, that was the great Donald Byrd. Think Twice, my bumper tune. I think we want to reserve our right for jumping into any ideology, if for those of us that are voting, and I encourage everyone to vote. I think we need to hold out. I mean, there are folks that 2 weeks ago, you know, what they say, some 40 million people have voted. I mean, you know, what if something does, you know, come out that the person that you happen to vote for, whichever it is pitchers. What if the pitchers come out? You know, something crazy like perversion, some pedophilia, you know, babies, children. What if that came out? Can't take your vote back. No, I reserve to hold back, like I said 2 weeks ago, and see and get as much information as I can if I'm going to be a participant in this four-cycle thing we call an election, a free election. Because it's very particular when I say it looks like a duck, walks like a duck. It seems very particular that so much is biased and so much is involved with that country on the other side of the globe we call China. And if you don't think those billions and billions of folks have some type of political and economic power in the United States, you're really, really, really lost. But I don't think that's the case with these listeners. I don't think that's the case with us. So we've got to be fine-tuned, because we've had this discussion. We've all said, okay, probably the chairs we're all sitting on right now were made in China. Wherever you're at, I don't care if you're in the living room, wherever, you're probably sitting on something that was made in China. If you're not sitting on something that's made in China, you're probably writing on a piece of paper. You're probably holding a telephone. And if you're looking at 80% of our product, how can you say that's not going to influence our economy? And if it's about that product, of course, our media runs on what? Cars run on gasoline, at least 85% of them in America. Media runs on what? You know how you talk, you know, for those who have children or have raised a child, you know, guardian, you know, you teach them and you put the blank in, all right? You say, boats float on what? Ah, planes fly in the, cars need what to run? Networks are paid by what? Correct, businesses. Now, need I say nay? More, if 80% of everything business in our country comes from China, that's not hard to put the dots together. And that's why I said, folks, think about it. One of my mentors, one of my most revered mentors of 20 years, said something and never tried to explain it. And I won't go blasphemous on you by some people's standards, you know, how Jesus said he speaks in parables. I'm not trying to be that. But I'm just saying, I said, watch the feeding lion. I said, I'm going to leave it at that. And some people can't say, what does that mean? Think about it. In other words, just connect the dots. So this thing is so deep, as, was it George Clinton? So deep. Anyway, that's my monologue. Think twice, folks. Think twice. I know we got these predispositions about this person and how terrible. I'm not pro one way or the other, but I am open-minded. And I'm not jumping in anybody's pool, and I'm not taking anybody's Kool-Aid, because it seems like that's the thing everybody else is doing without my research. And I've been doing so much research, I probably look like a raccoon about right now if you saw me. And it is not leaning in the direction I would have thought it was going to lean a year ago. And you need to do some simple research. And Dick Gregory said it again. It's right there for you. You don't have to listen to just Fox News or CNN. You know, there's lots of things you can compare with. You can go on the internet. There's so much real information you can gather, and you can compare and contrast. And yes, you should listen to a little CNN and then compare it to what they're saying on Fox, or what they're saying to One America News, or what they're saying to MSNBC, or what they're saying to Newsy. You better be aware of all of them. I had a lady tell me today, a woman. She says, I've been doing my research. I said, really? She says, yes, Mr. Clark. I've been listening to CNN like day and night, and I just walked away. I've been watching. I got all the info I need. Is that you? I don't think so. Not a listener of Progressive News Weekly. Progressive as in literally progress, not politically progressive left or whatever that is. So I'm just saying, do your homework. Do your work. I'll tune in this evening. Yes, I'll be tuning in, because I'm going to be listening very clear. And if there's any way that that subject does not come up tonight, then you know this thing is deep as the ocean is deep. In fact, it's deep all the way to China. If that subject does not come up, and I understand, I'm not hearing, well, you know, we all have drug addicted, you know, family members. I know I do. I can get in some details that might have you in tears. You know, I might myself be the first one if I think about issues in my family. I understand all of that. But when you start to engage in that with regard to your business, then there is a problem. And you start to use that for your own benefit, there is an issue. And from what I'm researching, I'm very concerned. And we should be concerned. Go information off from you. But that should have everybody saying, whoa, whoa. That should make you very suspicious, if anything. They may have done a disfavor for the people that they're supporting by doing this. What? I can't hear more about this possibility? That sounds like what I'm hearing on ABC, NBC, and CBS. It's just all one-sided. So think about it, folks. Think about it hard. Tonight, we're going to talk about reform in African-American community. And I'm just thrilled, literally, to have I know to be two remarkable minds that are working with me, and I've invited everyone as a part of the Progressive News family to participate in this. And I said, send me an email. Let me know what your thoughts are. You know, what is your thoughts about some things that we do need to do in terms of, you know, progressive reform for African Americans. And as I mentioned before, the whole Black Lives Matter movement, that's a great thing in terms of a movement. And I've been reaching out, so if you have a connection, I'd love to get, you know, someone who has some type of a authority to speak on behalf, because, you know, you got a lot of splinters out there who are talking about, yeah, I'm one of the Black Lives, you know, Matter folks. But no, we want to have someone with some credibility, and I would love to have them on the program, and I'm not getting responses. So that's okay, because we don't give up. I don't know how to give up. So we're going to keep reaching out for that to get some input. But there are some things that I didn't like on the website when I first saw it, and some of those things are gone now. So interesting. We can get into some of that, but that's not for tonight. Tonight we want to talk about progressive reform. Before I get into that with our special guest tonight, and again with Mr. Adrian Consul, and I'm going to talk more about what he has done so much, and Mr. Kevin Porter, and I'd like to be able to say your name if you'll just send me an email to Daryl, D-A-R-R-Y-L underscore C-L-A 1-8 at MSN.com, or Progressive News, just Progressive News, no spaces, Progressive News at MSN.com. Send me an email, Daryl. I'd like to be involved, and I'd like to be on the research. I've got a couple folks that does my research with me and for me behind the scenes, and never would get it. And Dick taught me this and shared some of his research acumen. And so I'm just honored to be able to get real information and be comfortable to say this is real. And again, I don't like to say I told you so. But it was just last week, I believe, I was talking to someone. I said, you know, before you just make judgment, you know, just hold back, because you don't know, you know, what might be lurking behind the curtains. So with that said, this evening we're going to talk about African-American reform. We're going to talk a little bit about the 4 or 5 topics under the heading of progressive African-American reform. And just to refresh everyone's memory, some of the things are police reform, constitutional issues, education, and not just education from a perspective of school, undergrad, grade school, grad school, you know, that formal education. Education from the perspective of being informed, being knowledgeable of what's going on with facts, not emotion. Economic empowerment, critically important. And then I know, as I get down towards the last bullets that we have under this, and we can add more, exposure and elimination of negative Black influences. So we got to look at, find the snakes in our own backyard. We got to cut the heads off. They're the most dangerous. And then we've got to emphasize and promote positive Black influences. Because the best way to get rid of weeds in your grass is just simply grow good grass and weed it out. And we talked about that. And I know one of our panelists in this, that is one of his big hot buttons. And I agree with him 100% and 150%. So who are our esteemed guests? You just might ask. Well, first we have Mr. Kevin Porter, author. He's an engineer. He's an executive director of Man-Made Mentoring. He's an educator. He walks the talk. And this isn't about left wing or right wing. He's just speaking straightforward, straight down prospect. So he's involved in so much more. His latest book, Angry Little Men, Hypermasculinity, Academic Disconnect, and Mentoring African-American Males. Well, it's just been given accolades from around the country. And he's way ahead of his time in the idea of we must look out for our African-American males as much as anything. We have to look out for our young ladies, of course. But if you have no males, you have no strength. Not that women are stronger in so many ways than men. I'm not going to get into male versus female. But I think you understand. There's been an attack on African-American males. And then joining Mr. Porter, Mr. Adrian Consul, you're talking about a go-getter. He's a co-founder of the Positive Community. You're talking about a visionary. This is a magazine and a website that advocates positive change in the black community. So this is our fourth series. Fourth in a series, of this African-American reform. And I encourage you all to call in, give us your thoughts, your ideas. So we're going to do a kind of a recap on what we're talking about here. But I want to start off with Mr. Adrian Consul of the Positive Community. And as I said, the three of us are all on board with the whole outline of this reform, and we're open to add other topics. But one of the leading hot buttons for Brother Consul is the emphasis and promotion of positive black influences, thus weeding out those negative influences. We have to be ever so careful, and we have to be careful of what's going on, and I don't like to get into politics of what's happening with what they say, conservative versus liberalism. You've got to be careful with extremes of either. And extreme liberalism is where we say, well, folks, let's just walk around naked outside. It ain't going to influence nobody. Forget about the children who will be freaked out over it. You should be able to walk around. Let's just encourage people to walk around naked. That's extreme liberalism, right? Extreme conservatism might be, we need to stay covered up. You shouldn't have anything. By some standards, because you have to take into consideration the Muslim faith and their culture too. So, withstanding that, that's another example just to kind of give an idea of what I'm talking about with extremes. We have to be careful of the extremes. So, with that, I want to bring on Brother Adrian Consul to the airwaves, and Brother Porter will weigh in on him and his conversation as we get into this. I believe we have Brother Consul in studio. I'm going to throw the mic open to what I believe is his mic. Brother Consul, are you there? I don't know if we have him online yet. Told that he might be with us, but we need to just make sure. Let me see if he's got his line open or not. So while we're trying to get Brother Adrian Consul's line open, because I think it's open, it should be. Brother Adrian, are you there? He is there. Well, his mic is open, so he may be muted or something going on with his line. Let's go over to Brother Porter until we can get Brother Adrian Consul's line open. Make sure Brother Porter is with us here. Brother Porter, are you there?
Hey, Brother Clark, I'm here. How are you?
All right. I'm good, man. We're trying to get Brother Consul's line open. I see his his line is connected, but we're not able to get the audio. So we'll work on that in the background while we get started on the other side of the outline, which is police reform. I know we're working. You heard me probably talking about our research team and how that's expanding. And, of course, we don't ever, you know, expose our source of resource. I've had one of my research team members a couple of weeks ago say, you know, Darryl, guess what I've got? This is the latest information. Now, my name isn't affiliated. I said, no. Just need to know that it's fact and show me what, where the source is, and I get the source. So we respect our sources of information. And so I know you've been working with another source also who's going to be joining the team.
Yes.
But in terms of police reform, just to reiterate, because we have new listeners and the lines are jammed, so that means people are picking up on this this progressive reform for African Americans. And I emphasize again, progressive folks, and we may have to even change the name. I don't like to do that for politics purposes because I've had people say, so is this a left-wing kind of a thing? I'm like, oh, don't do that. Don't put us in a box. No. And it's not Republican. It's not Democrat. Progressive just means it's progress. It's a progressive as in moving forward, as in the definition of progress. So I want everyone to understand that because we do have several. I see the lines are kind of jamming up. I don't know who the callers are or the listeners are, but I see the lines are pretty much jammed up. So I just wanted to put that out there, that we don't play that game. This is about an agenda, not on behalf of left or right or anything of that nature. I wanted to get that out there, Brother Porter. So, yeah, can you highlight for us where we have been, the kind of things we were talking about, like police unions, contracts, defunding, you know, banning tactics, some of the topics under police reform.
Could
share that.
Yeah, I think for even new and old listeners, when they think about police reform, first you've got to think about why would people want to reform the police. One is that they're, as you know and I know and you see in the media, that it doesn't work for all situations, so there needs to be a change. The change
Hello?
Sometimes it sounds like
no,
Adrian
go ahead.
Made it back. All right. Sounds like, when you see the problems in our community and it deals with the police, something is not working. And it may not be working from a culture standpoint, but it's also not working from a serve and protect standpoint. So what we are trying to do is just highlight the facts in terms of police reform. What are the things that are affecting the police and the community? One is force, deadly force. Ask yourself, if you were a police officer, and I wouldn't take the job because it's a job that is difficult. But if you've been trained to protect other people and you've been trained to protect yourself and you have a uniform on, and then you have a uniform that has body armor on there, and then you have these body cameras, and you know, that's a certain level of protection. And then you may have a gun, and you may have a stun gun or what have you. That's another level of protection. Then you have your cars, your vehicle. You have so many levels of protection against innocent people. So the question is, if they are so well trained, so well protected, what is the problem? Okay. Well, the problem is you have people in law enforcement who are abusing their power and frankly are not made out to be people to serve and protect the communities that they are trying to serve and protect. So police reform in our minds is that we have to change not only the people who are in uniform, but what they do. And one of the things we want to make sure is that we want to make sure that if you're a police officer, don't use a chokehold. That's a violation there. If you're using it, you should be charged. If you shoot somebody who doesn't have a gun or what have you, you should stand trial or you should be indicted just like somebody off the street. If somebody off the street shot an innocent person, police would question, but you more than likely you were going to be brought down and charges are going to be filed against you. That, with the police and their unions, usually it's 3 to 4 weeks before anything is brought against these police officers. And as you've seen in the past 20, 30 years, there rarely is a police officer ever charged with anything. So what we want to do is make sure that those unions who have been protecting these police officers, we're going to break them too. You have to remove the unions because these unions have contracts with the city. These contracts dictate on what are the penalties for any type of behavior that is unbecoming a police officer. And sometimes these behaviors will have to go to a union steward or a union chief or what have you, and they will protect their police officer and provide them with the information prior to any charges. So when it's time for them to talk to someone, they've already know what the case is about. And if you knew what the case was about, it would be easy for you to defend yourself if somebody told you, we have this, we have you on camera, we have your history. You could explain everything away. You could say you feared for your life. You could say he reached for the gun. You could say he said something. So all of these kind of require a judicial change and the removal of the police union. I think that's one critical aspect that we have to really consider if we're going to have true reform. Because right
okay.
now, police officers are protected too much.
Okay, Brother Porter, I was able to reach Brother Adrian Consul. As we all know, he runs a rather large magazine operation that literally is distributed to hundreds of thousands, and his deadline is this evening. So he popped back over. He said I saw his number was live, but he said he had to put us on hold because he's trying to get these last stories in. So he is he's going to pop in if he can, and so when he because he had to jump back over. So when he comes in, I may have to preempt so we can get, because he has about a few minutes of what he wants to express in terms of what he's been looking into with regard to emphasis on positive. And okay, I see Brother Adrian is with us now. Brother Adrian, are you there?
I'm right here.
All
how
right.
Are you?
Yeah, we're just explaining.
Okay, good.
We're
to talk
good,
to
man.
You,
we
Darryl.
Appreciate you.
Once
I know
again,
how it
attorney,
is, man.
How are you? Good. Yes.
Yeah, I know.
Just
you,
happy
I,
to be
I
here with
to the
you
listeners.
And love the conversation. And as we were talking earlier, we're placing our emphasis and moving forward with the emphasis on positive. And it is true in all things positive. Positive music matters too.
I you know it's interesting. I was interesting to say that under that heading, which you did some work in, emphasis and promotion of positive black influences, we have those subtitles, culture, music, arts and entertainment, and, of course, intellect in terms of positive influences. I know that music is a big one. So is that whole culture thing, understanding our history, and
sure.
And then, of course, arts and entertainment, which kind of ties in with the music piece as well. You said you're working on a deadline. I don't want to just take your time frame, but real quick, are you coming out with another issue of Positive Community? Is that what you're working on?
Yeah, we're working on right now. We're working on our annual Newark issue, and every year we do a Harlem issue in the summer, and we do a Newark issue in the fall. And so right now we're working on the Newark issue. And we're excited because we have a lot of information and news in there. And so,
And then, of course, there's a lot.
Just to let you know that we're also planning our second annual Emancipation Day awards event. And that will be on January 1st, Year's Day,
so,
Emancipation
so,
Day.
When our next series will probably be the middle, probably right before Thanksgiving, our next reform series. So you'll probably have even more information by then for that. So I didn't want to interrupt too much, but I wanted to let the listeners know that to get to the Positive Community, there's a website, correct?
Right.
And that is the
Positive Community. PositiveCommunity.com.
thepositivecommunity.com. Yeah, and they can get
and
a preview of the magazine. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Yes, and when you get to the website, don't forget to press the radio button because we're streaming the best music 24/7. Listen to Positive Community Radio.
Yep, I advise. I listen to that if I'm out doing work or out back,
right.
Or I just pop that in, and it's and
but
it's,
you know,
it's,
you know what I'm realizing? I'm realizing the secret to Positive Community Radio is that
mm-hmm.
it's intergenerational. So you can hear
yeah.
a Chuck Berry song, and then hear the rest of development, and go right on into Chris Brown. So
mm-hmm.
you know we can do this. We can do this.
Yes.
And then what happens is all the music just sounds good. So
yeah.
you know what I'm
it's,
saying?
It's
oh, this is throwback. This is oldie, or this is that young stuff. No, it's
mm-hmm.
all good. When it's positive.
It is. Well, on that note, I know you only have a few minutes because you got folks calling, your editors calling you. Just to speak to the aspect of the importance, emphasis of positive influences and images with regard to, say, let's just use culture and music. Because, and again, we know that tonight is the debate. This is a big deal coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I spoke about extreme liberalism, which I'm very concerned of. And I know we've been using this one
mm-hmm.
particular artist, Cardi B. But it's an excellent example, and I probably am giving her more attention than we may want to give her. But it's a good
mm-hmm.
example of what I believe you might be referring to as some of that extreme liberalism that we need to be a lot careful of in terms of our influences. Had a conversation with
well,
the listener last
week. I say two things. Number one is that, you know, I don't really blame a lot of the artists because that's what they do. You know, if my concern is that you just don't hire strippers to your 13-year-old son's birthday party, you know. So,
okay, now.
You know.
Okay.
And
that's
as far
the culture
as liberalism
piece.
Is right. I mean, you know, it's just what you don't do. So you don't
right.
play that music. You got to know who you're playing this stuff to. And we have to, as a community, have to say, hey, wait a minute, you can't do that. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand the extremes, but I think that more importantly, we have to be politically conservative or politically liberal. We have to be culturally conservative. We got to know what's best for us and our children.
Thank you.
You know,
yes.
You know, the progress of our children and the integrity of our culture, our collective soul, means everything. So that's what any other community does. So you know, we're not asking for anything abnormal, but that's what it is. And if you're culturally conservative, there's certain things you just won't allow happen, you know. And nobody can stop that because that's our sovereign right. You know, it's
but wasn't that a part?
Our,
wasn't that a part
huh?
of our culture 40 years ago? Basically, culturally conservative. I mean, if you and I, we're about
yeah,
the same age, had
yeah.
wanted to do something that wasn't right, we had to go and do it, you know, behind closed doors,
right?
Right.
Right.
Because
right.
it wasn't
you know,
acceptable
like,
culturally.
You know, it's just like you know. Hey, listen. You know, hey, I know you. You see somebody doing wrong, or somebody see us doing wrong. We were growing up. Hey, I know you. Aren't you so and so's son? Aren't you so and so's daughter? And man, you know, and you get busted out here. They'll take you to task, and then go home and tell your mama. But you know, that doesn't happen as much. You know.
So are we in danger culturally of our tolerance level being too high? Culturally? Is that cultural conservatism that you're talking about? In other words, is it okay? This isn't about Cardi B because we had you know who I'm trying to say back in the day. I can't remember her name. God, that draws my blank. Somebody help me out here. Anyway.
Dolemite?
She was pretty sassy. She was pretty sassy sister. Because there was a few of them out
Billy
there that had some
Yes,
thank you. But it wasn't turning on the radio and hearing
first
it every other tune.
Yeah, we're edgy people, you know. I mean, we sometimes teeter on the edge, but we're also a sensuous people. And like,
yes.
you know, being in love and being obscene or vulgar are two different things. And
yes.
you know, it's not to say we shouldn't have fun and wholesome fun, but we should be mindful of, you know, knowing the value of what we have. You know, what are our cultural assets? What do we bring to the table? You know, one day your mm-hmm. children and your grandchildren will be asked one question, and they have to be prepared to answer it. And that question is, what's your story? My story? I'm an African American. I'm a descendant of the Great Emancipation of 1863. And we've been in this country since the 1600s, longer than the country's been here. You got, and we triumphed. You know, we did 250 years of slavery. 1863, Emancipation Day, started our journey. And 100 years later, Martin Luther King came up to march on Washington and demanding an end to Jim Crow segregation and a call for equal rights and the right to vote. And 40 years after his assassination, we got the first black president. That's our story. And we created some of the best music this world has ever known. We were top athletes. We are everything. You know, we are American. And you got to make your claim on the American dream. And, you know, you got to play your own game by your own rules. That is all. That's what cultural conservatism is.
So let's tie that into reform. And I know you have to go probably in about 2 minutes. I'm getting your messages.
Uh-huh.
Let's tie that in, and that'll be a good lead-in for when we come back in about 3 weeks. So taking what you said into consideration, where is there a need for reform looking at our current situation? And I know you talked to that just a little bit in the moments prior when you talked about cultural assets, cultural conservatism. Are you saying with that we've gotten too culturally loose? Have we lost some of that? What needs to be brought back or reformed area?
Well, we have to.
And then we can talk about how.
Yeah, we have to come to terms with our economic situation and, you know, and what it's going to take for us to prosper our community for the future. You know, we have to take full responsibility for creation of jobs for ourselves, understanding and knowing what we bring to the table. And a demand for economic justice. What's yours is yours. What's ours is ours. And we have to know what's ours so we know what to ask for. I think that the problem is today is that we don't really know what to ask for. You know, is it police reform? Is it prison reform? You know, at the end of the day, what's that going to get you? At the end of the day, where does that leave you? So what about building businesses? What about creating jobs? You know, what about that? What about supporting one another? What about loving one another? How's that? You see, because that's how you're going to advance yourselves. And that brings with it all manner of reform. But we have to first do this ourselves. Nobody else is going to do this for us. You know, you can keep asking for as much as you can, but nobody's going to do for you what you're not doing for yourself. You know, so, you know, don't expect another person to take you there. It's not their business to do. It's your business to do. So we have to accept our responsibilities as a people, and we have to love one another. This is about love, baby. It's about love. You got to love one another. You know, you got to know your history, and you got to embrace the things. And you know, it's trials, it's tribulation, but it's also triumph. Remember those triumphs. Teach your kids. Let them know that it didn't come free. Freedom is not free. That kind of stuff. So, you know, that's
Well, the next time around, I know you've got to go. Let's talk about more. The what is wonderful, and we're going to add to that, and then we're going to ask our listeners to kind of make a mental note and maybe even a physical note. And we're going to talk about not just the what. We'll add to that what list of the things you just talked about, Brother Consul, mm-hmm. but then we're going to talk about how, because we got some folks that don't have the guidance of a parent or someone like you or I, and then we got to talk about how do we get down in that. Do we use some of those existing
We're talking about co-hosting sometime in the future a conference about love.
Yes.
Love of self, love of family, love of community, love of culture, love of nation, love of race, love of your brother man. But it's got to be love. Got to be love. We got to put more love back into the equation. You know, we got to just love one another. And it's easy to do. Just put your heart into it. So listen, everybody.
And part of that love, it's always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. Part of that love is, as you said, calling out our own flaws and those that are infringing upon that love within our own community. It's that Roach Motel concept that I don't think is a coincidence. Brother Consul, thank you so much for joining us again on this panel.
We'll come
together. Of course, Brother Porter and you and I have to talk about setting up the next series because we want to do something special prior to Thanksgiving holiday coming in, and by then it'll be, you know, post-election and some other things, and we really got to talk about a focus for an agenda. So looking forward to that. I'll be back in touch with you later this evening because I have some information for you, Brother Consul, as well.
Thank you, sir.
I want you to help me with the 5K promotion that we're doing for that, and I want to reach out to you on that later, too. Thank you, brother.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay. So that was Brother Adrian Consul. And again, I think everybody who's worked somewhere, you know, understands deadlines and him trying to get the, I guess this evening or tomorrow sometime, he has a deadline to go to print. So, he didn't have that much time. So Brother Porter, my apologies there in terms of preempting.
Oh, no.
I know you were, you know, talking about, of course, we knew that he had some time, but you were talking about unions. And I guess I'm looking at your outline here. You talk about contracts, defunding, banning abusive tactics, database of history, training requirements. Did you want to speak to any of those as well as the union situation?
Well, I really think that what we have to do is you have to take it in its whole, meaning that you can't just look at the police and hold them to blame if they don't hold – they don't have anybody to hold them accountable like the city or the state. You also have to look at the union that puts them in place with the city. So the unions design these contracts to protect them. What I want our listeners to understand is not just police reform and take the money out. What we have to do is evaluate what is protecting the police and bring that to the point where we undress that as well. Because there's good police officers out there, but we want to do is be able to take the protection away from the bad police officers. And I think that as your listeners listen, they know what cities, they know how many of these cases come about, and they know things are not getting done. And the reason why they are not getting done is because of the protection outside of the police department but associated with the police union and the city attorneys.
So we're not talking about defunding like some have said, you know, taking the money just out of the whole department, talking about reforming, realigning, in other words.
Yeah, part of the problem, Daryl, is we live in a country where you got a lot of noise out there, and people who have their ideal of what reform looks like. What we lack in this country, and you and I know we'll agree, is leadership. So if your police department is not acting right and continues to not act right, then there's something wrong with the leadership, right? And if you get a leader or a police chief or mayor or both, which you really need to, they need to be working together because what they're being paid by the city. They're there to protect people. And to kill innocent people is not a good way of publicizing what you are there to do. What we need is not only to kind of adjust what we're spending our money and the training, We need to make sure that we have good leaders who are talking talk and walking it.
So, you know, interesting point that you're bringing up now, which if I can take a couple of moments, talking about the leadership, and we talked a little bit about this at the top of the program generically when we said we really, as part of this overall reform, need to be able to step back and look at the snakes in our backyards. And sometimes those snakes look like us, and we got to be willing to say, you know what, okay, I got to bite this bullet. It's my brother. You know, it's my sister. Love them dearly, but I got to look at a broader picture because it's about a culture. It's about a race. It's about a people.
Yep.
And I can't let, I won't let, for the sake of skin color or nepotism, stand in the way of moving a culture, a people forward. And an individual or individuals can do that. And that does concern me that that's happening across America. I mean, in so many of our cities, you know, that are run by us. I'm looking at Board of Eds, not to jump from police to education, but Board of Education. Right. How many cities are run by black superintendents, black mayors?
The thing there, again, as we both know, that if you don't have a way to measure performance and hold people accountable, then they can play that race card against you. So that's
you
why
go.
You need that's why it's important that when we have leadership in the community, that that leadership should be consistent in the message. It doesn't matter what color you are. We need to fix the problem. If the problem is still there, we need to remove the leader until the problem gets fixed. We need to have a consistent message because everybody who is your skin color ain't your kin. So everybody is not supporting the changes that we need in our community just because they're the color of your skin. Or even some people even might say some of the right things, but their actions should be questioned. Just like the the Attorney General in Kentucky, or the Breonna Taylor case. He's black, right? You would think that he would be supported. You know why they didn't have any charges? Because he didn't present any charges for the death of her. He did not present any charges. He didn't make any recommendation to the grand jury. That's why. If he had made a recommendation, what would the grand jury have done? They would have trusted his expertise, right?
That's right.
But he's a sellout.
And I think we need to be aware, because probably if you looked at his track record, you would have seen that. And I get concerned when I see that, because it leads me to think about some other things going on. You know, if we see something coming, we don't need to get bit by a situation twice. And people will chameleon themselves. They'll say, okay, well, they saw me on that one, so I better say these things so that it doesn't appear as though I'm going to be exposed again. Okay, well, look, and that was then, this is now. But, you know, if a person's track record, I'm going to give you a side eye. I don't care if you're my brother. I don't care if you're my sister. If your track record said that you incarcerated 2,000 people who for minor charges, you're going to get my side eye. There's no question.
Right.
I have to give that. I can't say because you're my sister that I was then, and you're saying the right things now, and you're doing the right gestures, and you got the home thing, like, you know, our former president got that cool thing and all that, but there was never a black agenda. Like, you know, hey, give us some something. Give us some platinum. Give us some money. This is what I'm going to do for my black African Americans. Do something. Right. It didn't happen. All I got was a, yo, I'm going to drop the mic. I'm going to do this. And that is, I have a concern for, and I love what you said about measuring performance. We need, as part of what we're doing, come up with a certain benchmarks to say, you want to be a council person, you want to be a mayor in this town, black, white, or indifferent, but especially if you're black. Because we're talking from African American, especially, am I holding ourselves to a higher standard? I can do that because I'm black. You understand what I'm saying?
Yep.
It's like we used to say, you can't get involved in this family. It's a family thing.
So
we need to especially hold our brothers and sisters to it, because you know why? They're going to have the potential to mislead a broad range of us. It's like stealing from the black babies. But I'm not talking about babies. I'm talking about adults that can be easily misled. And I see it all the time where I work, because I work with a number of seniors. Some are older. They don't read. They don't know how to read. All they know is what they see and what they're told on CNN. And it's disheartening. As I was telling someone earlier that, and this is just an example, not to take you off track, that someone was saying to me, because often some of my folks, I work with 300 folks, you know, I'm accountable to, and a large area of senior populace, a center, several buildings, and one of them was trying to impress me and say, you know, Mr. Clark, I really got this thing down. This is a quote. I said, what do you mean, Miss X? I've been doing my research. I said, good, good. Keep an open mind. Look at the whole picture. I have. I've been watching CNN day and night, and I got it now. That's a quote. That is a quote.
Yeah.
I've been watching CNN day and night. When she said that, my heart dropped. It, like, my stomach. I said, wow. I said, well, you know, you should broaden it out a little bit. But I had to be careful, because when I went through, she said, what you mean? I know you ain't talking about even looking at no other channel. I said, no, I wouldn't do that, because I didn't want to go into that, and it would have been a big, oh, I would have had a fight. So I'm just saying, but we have to be careful of us being misled, because so many of us are not educated. So many.
This
we got some more educated who are just educated, ignorant folks who don't want to open the mind up to say, okay, I want to see the whole story. I don't want to just see this side. I want to see the whole thing from A to Z, and let me make a decision. Otherwise, we're going to keep walking down the same street like you and I were talking earlier, if we're not discerning on a broad basis. And that's why I love that measuring performance. These are the benchmarks. What is your history? Remember what you were talking about the police and their history?
Yep.
Because from my experience as a person who's lived, you know, more than a few decades, you know, I'm past half a century, well past it, and my experience have told me most of the time, the spots are still there. You may not see them. Lepers, they just don't.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if the history is saying that this is where I'm coming from, the proof is usually in the pudding. And if you haven't seen a change in the person up to when they want to get you to do what they want you to do, in other words, all the way up to the point where they're saying, I want you to do this for me. But everything up to that point where they ask for that, there's been a pattern. Pattern is not going to change. It's just not. That's been my history, my experience, without exception, with family, with friends, heck, even with myself. And so I think that it's going to be critical that we do that measuring performance by several matrix. If we can give a model, Brother Porter, we can get together and say, hey, these are some things that you might want to look at. Consider the history, the track record, the potential.
The hiring practice.
The hiring practices. Yes.
You got to know how this person thinks, whatever their position is. And
I agree.
You got to hold everybody accountable.
Everyone.
I don't care what he looks like. Hmm. You don't let him off the hook, because a lot of these people have not been held accountable to answer to their past. They
have, you're right.
They get a pass because they got promoted. They get a pass because they go to another city and can start over, and you don't know what they did on the city before that. They get a pass because they've been on the force for 20 years. But like you said, that guy who was on George Floyd's neck, he's been a police officer for a minute, and it didn't look like he was uncomfortable. It really looked like he's done that pretty well a couple of times.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That wasn't his first rodeo. That might be the first one he's killed that we know, but that wasn't his first rodeo. He knew what he was doing. And he was looking out for citizens who might intervene.
I agree. And we got to also look who was around him. I mean, there were some folks that, you know, his colleagues that was just kind of right there looking at it like that wasn't their first rodeo seeing it either. They didn't seem to be too shocked. Nothing like, are you okay? Are you doing? Oh, okay.
Yeah. Now, we were a police officer on the first day, first week, first month, for first year. Somebody's doing it. Hey, man. And I wouldn't care, because we understand that there's a moral obligation you have.
Absolutely.
I don't owe a man nothing. But if he's violating somebody's rights, I should have a moral obligation to protect that person.
Which supersedes a business obligation.
That's right.
Thank you.
Mm. That is right.
Mm. If we can get there, that's what Brother Constant was saying when he said love.
That's what love is. And love also, even if I wasn't a professional police officer, and if I was a bystander, I would have to go closer to him. I would have to
bring it.
You know, I don't know exactly, girl, I cannot speak to exactly what I would do, but I could not stand and do nothing.
Yeah.
I could not stand there and do nothing. It's hard.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, see where we are as a people? We got some work to do. This reform thing, this ain't going to happen, folks, in a week or a month or next 2 months. We got this stuff is deeply entrenched. We got to get some folks in here, talk about the psychological aspect, get Joy DeGruy and some other sociologists, psychologists back on here, maybe Dr. Eddie Taylor back in with us, talk about some of the deep-rooted parts, because for us to stand back, you're right. You're right, Brother Porter. You're hitting on some heavy notes right now. It's true.
Yeah.
We gotta really look at ourselves.
That broke my heart when I saw that.
Mm-hmm. You could hear
people saying something, but they were held. He didn't have his gun out, but they were held their distance, right? They knew their place. But you have to give of yourself. There's no greater love than to give your life for somebody.
Preach, tell the truth. It's true. We got to get beyond where we are as a people, and we got to do that without allegiance, beholdence to anything else. It could have been a black man on that man's neck, which I think people would have been more likely to say do something about, you know, if that hadn't been the case. But it don't matter.
Yeah.
And that speaks something, you know, that speaks heavily too, to say, well, white man, we still got that thing in our head, and you just hit it on the nose, man. We gotta take this to the point where if it's 20 people, I don't know, there may be 200. If it's 20 people listening right now, if we can come together on a regular basis and entrench in our individual hearts, starting with you and I and Brother Consul, our hearts to kind of in-depth consciousness that you're talking about right now, we'll be okay. That'll be a seed that will evolve into something that will cover a multitude of situations and issues that we're dealing with. If we can just start with that strong of a seed, because I know we're going to have to wrap up in the next couple of minutes, and this is a good segue for that. We didn't get into a whole number quantity wise, but the things we touched on tonight in terms of like reform unions and the cultural piece of it, and own moral fabric that we talked about with you, Brother Porter and Brother Consul, I think that's going to be a key to us moving forward. No matter what happens politically, no matter what.
Right.
Because we don't know. We don't know what's going to go on. If the current president gets back in, we need to be able to say, okay, we holding you accountable for what is it, the Platinum Plan, which says, what is it, $500 billion is going to be going to black business loans. If the new administration is not the current administration, but another administration, which it would be that which is in contention, we got to be able to hold them because they got a track record that's not very good. I mean, that's just the facts of the matter. We got the Ku Klux Klan in one side. We got the person on the other side, the vice that's, you know, got this history. We got some work to do no matter what is what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
No matter what.
We are built to fight. We're built to fight. So we might as well realize that this is not going to be easy, and it's going to be a fight no matter who's up. This is like the championship, right? We're ready to move to that next level. We're trying to wait to see these two knuckleheads fight it out. Now, we take on that winner because progress cannot stop because we got some other knucklehead in office.
Nope.
This is the next level. We got to fight that. Then there's no easy championship. None.
Mm-mm.
And to get to where we want to get to with our community, our culture, our people, we got to take it to that next level because there's so much that needs to be changed. We're talking about health care, employment, the justice system, police reform. We got jobs.
Our cultural presence.
Cultural.
Yes.
Education.
Oh, man.
So
we got work.
We got some work to do. It's not like we only got two items to deal with this, either the current administration or the next administration. What we have is a convolution of everything. We got to take the whole everything we've been carrying, continue to carry it forward.
Yeah. It's a
– So our fight has got to be tougher. We got tougher.
You said enough for mine. Listeners, I know you all were chomping at the bits to participate this evening. We're going to come back, as I said, prior to our Thanksgiving holiday. We're going to have a format in place to take this to the hows. We've talked about the whats, and at that time, we'll have a good idea of, as Brother Porter is saying, you know, who we're going to be up against. It doesn't matter, but we'll know what more specifically it is that we're going to have to do. That's for sure. So we're going to be in it for the long haul, no matter what. And we're up for it. There's no doubt about that. Brother Porter, I can't thank you enough for the work
that
you've
done.
And the folks don't know what you're doing behind the scenes, the work that you're putting in. Listeners, if you have, you know, a desire to be a part of this forum, please just send me an email, progressivenews@msn.com, progressivenews@msn.com. I love what I'm hearing. You know, it really is all about love. And we're in this love together, folks. So with that said, Brother Porter, you and I, of course, we got to connect in the next days and weeks ahead to work on the next phase of this series. To our listeners, whom we would not even be here without, just shout out to say thank you. One last shout out, if I can do promotion, our 5K. And Brother Porter, thank you for your support. I saw you weighed in and got your 5K registration in there. So I'm looking forward to see your time come up there, whatever. And it's an honor system. It's all in fun. But, you know, you got until November 21st to post your time. You should, and of course, we're going to send your T-shirts and stuff out to you. And hey, don't stop there, Brother Porter. Encourage some family and others to join in on this. I see the numbers are starting to grow. But listeners, a number of you who said you were going to register, I'm still looking for those names. The website is plainfieldwalkrun.com. Very simple. www.plainfieldwalkrun.com. You know, that ties into, you know, one of our pillars on this reform for African Americans. Cooperative economic empowerment. Every dime. You know, we were pulling down pictures of the things we've done over the last 10 years. This is our 10th anniversary, and the team, my board and I, we were looking at some of the things, some of the faces on the children, the football teams, the basketball teams. This is not just boys. These are boys and girls, too. And the faces, the scholarships. We sent a sister, you know, she was trying to get to Africa to give books, and we supported her to help her get out over and do that benevolent work, and then to come back and do some work here in America. Similarly, I mean, just the faces over all those pictures. This is what we're doing for ourselves, folks. So, you know, go to plainfieldwalkrun.com. Join in on this. Normally you couldn't because it's all done right here in the tri-state area, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Connecticut. But this is an opportunity for you to participate with this. Again, Brother Porter, thank you. But bring some more folks in. We need more folks to come in and participate because a lot of folks who are local, you know, they don't want to do it unless, you know, they can come out and show off in front of people. But this isn't about that. This is about you do your 1 mile or your 3 miles, wherever you want to, in your neighborhood, in your local track, your park, or even on your treadmill. And I thank all of you who have already registered. And with that said, without you listeners, we wouldn't be here. Brother Porter, I know you got the scoot. We got about 1 minute. I'm going to go tune in. I'm going to be open-minded, but I do want to hear the question asked. I want to hear more about this because this thing with China is very, very serious. And I ain't trying to sound like a one side or the other, but somebody said, well, China's already here. No. China ain't here yet. You got a little taste of China being here when you went to go on Twitter and you wanted to put something up and somebody said, nope. Or you went on your computer and they said, no, you can't send that email. We don't like y'all talking about African Americans. That's when China will be here. And if we're not careful, it's going to happen, folks. So if there's some action going on with that, very, very vigilant about this. So tune in. Talk with you all next time. Brother Porter, nothing but love for you and family. Take care of yourself. To all our listeners, just know we're in this love together. We are in this love together. Right. Peace and blessings.
That we love to see. Every time we hear the music and feel it's this love together, we got the kind that lasts.